both the first money. What a great opportunity to talk about offerings. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I'll leave this part to Don later on about our sister diocese in the Dominican Republic, San Juan de la Maguana. The first reading is about those who cheat to get wealthy and who sell the poor for a pair of sandals. It's awful what Amos says about all the injustices that he was witnessing. He mentions also that these people are so eager to return to their shady businesses that they can't stand the Sabbath or any of the celebrations because they want to return doing business. This would be a perfect opportunity to talk about our own Sabbath, how we are losing also the sense of the day of the Lord. I remember when I was a child on Sunday, nobody worked. The stores were closed. You had to fill the tank on Saturday. Today, Sunday has completely lost that feeling of being homily. Today, I want to talk about the gospel. This dishonest steward, dishonest. He stole, he squandered his master's property. And when he was caught, instead of coming clean, he made it worse. He cheated even more. But the punchline of the whole gospel is that the master commended him, praised him, not his dishonesty, obviously, but the fact that he acted prudently. He had the virtue of prudence. What is prudence? It's one of the cardinal virtues, by the way. Prudence is the ability to make the right decision at the right time. And this steward who was going to be fired had to act quickly. He had to come up with a solution. He was going to be out of work, unable and unwilling to beg, obviously, so he had to come up with a decision quickly. And he acted quickly. He was shrewd, he was smart, he was clever. He devised a scheme, far-fetched, maybe, but he acted promptly. And to me, this is really the topic of today's sermon, is how we too, Catholics, Christians, need to have that virtue of prudence. Today, we celebrate Catechetical Sunday, an opportunity to honor the vocation of those who are willing to teach our younger generations about faith. But let me share with you, this is a daunting challenge. It has changed. It's not the way it used to be. It's tough. Try now sitting down with a bunch of teenagers. Talk to them about faith. They'll think you are from the moon. My own nephew, a very, very smart kid who grew up in a very Catholic family. My vacations this past summer wanted to talk to me about science. How do you explain your faith in the face of science? And one of the catechists here at Resurrection just a couple of weeks ago came to see me, said, "Father, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm sitting with my class. They look at me, but I'm not able to get through to them. I asked them, how many of you go to church?" He said, "Only three answered that they go to church." So how can you talk to them about Mass, about the sacraments? They live in a different world. It's very difficult to challenge them. Well, here comes in today's gospel. We need to have that same prudence. We need to do things differently. We need to be smart. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples out into the world, he told them, "I send you as sheep among wolves. Be as simple as doves. Be as shrewd as serpents. I think that's the challenge, to be able to think and to speak of our faith in new ways, to be able to pass it on to others, to be apologists, so to speak, not to apologize, but to be able to defend our faith. Or as St. Peter says in his first letter, to be able to give reasons of our faith. You know, we have reasons why we believe. It's not true that faith is blind. We have reasons, but we need to be able to articulate those reasons. We need to act smartly, be able to answer the new questions that are arising from our youth. We cannot simply repeat the old answers. There are new questions. We need to listen and to act prudently. So as today we celebrate this Catechetical Sunday, let me encourage all of you, first of all, to pray for our catechists, but also to take it upon ourselves to accept this challenge, to be like the dishonest steward, not in dishonesty, but in prudence, in being able to act promptly. You know, we are so ready to jump into action when it comes to money, to our bank account, our health, our profession. We have to act. But sometimes when it comes to spiritual life, we are quite laid back. We let it go. Not anymore. Let's be proactive, ingenious, shrewd, also when it comes to our spiritual life. And now, back to stewardship. And I would like to invite Don from the Mission Office of the Diocese of Orlando to talk to you about our sister diocese in the Dominican Republic. Don.
Good morning, Father said. My name is Don Smith, and I'm a parishioner over at St. Francis of Assisi in Apopka. I'd like to thank Father Vincenzo and each one of you for allowing me to spend a few minutes with you today about the annual collections that are being taken up that benefits the programs and projects that our diocese sponsors in the Dominican Republic. It's a pleasure and a privilege to share my experiences with you to help you understand how your financial support is making a huge difference in the lives of so many children, families, and communities. The people that live in the remote villages of our sister diocese are just like each one of us. They love their families, they want to provide for them and do the best they can. The only thing is that God has placed them in an area where most of them have no running water, no clean water, no electricity, no air conditioning, no internet, no cable TV, none of the modern day conveniences that we take for granted. Had it been God's will, we could be the ones without those things, but that's not what He wanted for us. Instead, He has called us to reach out to our brothers and sisters and help those in the Dominican Republic better their lives through programs that were started by the Diocese of Orlando over 20 years ago. By helping through either going on a mission trip, you are helping to bring these wonderful, beautiful people, just like us, in from being part of a forgotten society, in from the lifestyle of not having an educational system that works, that allows the young people to learn and better their lives as they grow older. Imagine, if you can for a second, that you lived in a village that none of the roads were paved or graded, nobody had electricity, no indoor plumbing or clean running water. To us, these things seem so basic and down to earth, but to our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic, they're a luxury. Many people have gone on mission trips and done so much for our brothers and sisters, but to a person, I can tell you, most everybody comes back saying they've gotten so much more than they ever imagined. One of the most remote and poorest villages in our sister diocese is a small village of La Cueva of about 20 or 30 families. In order to get to La Cueva, you have to take a long hike up and down through the mountains and cross a little creek that in the rainy season becomes a raging river. And during the rainy season, this river prevents the people from La Cueva of being able to leave their village and take their crops to market or get out. The decision was made several years ago to try to find a way to build a bridge across this river not only so the people of La Cueva could take their crops to market, but also to give them a way to stay connected with the rest of the people of our sister diocese in the world. Building this bridge was not an easy task. I made a couple of trips down there to work on it. While it's a solid concrete bridge, please keep in mind that each yard of concrete had to be mixed by hand on the ground, then put into 5-gallon buckets, carried sometimes half a mile to the form by over 40 or 50 workers, dumped in the form, and then come back, and this process repeated over and over for 8 or 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for almost 10 months. During one of the days while we were taking a young boy who had been watching us work all day, he didn't say much, but he had a beautiful smile, and I tried to speak to him in my broken Spanish. This one day it struck me because he had come down to the river on a horse and was trying to dip water out of this river and put it in some old rusty containers, obviously to take it back to his house. It hit me like a brick in the face when I realized that this was the same river that other people took their horses, cows, and other livestock to water to get off, cool off from the heat, yet he was using this water to take back to his house. Little things like just clean running water that we take for granted really call out for us to help our brothers and sisters in the sister diocese. If you can hold a hammer, run a skill saw, paint a wall, or drive a screw, there are always things to be done. Each year, there are many mission trips, usually 3 or 4 construction trips, where we're looking for people to go down without any special skills, but just have an open heart to listen to God call you to help us do the work for our brothers and sisters. I can promise you it will be a life-changing experience you'll never forget. I thank each of you for sitting and listening to my story and the works of the mission office. Your generosity in the past has helped create a vision for a new tomorrow. Today will help continue these programs into the future. There are envelopes in your pews you can use for this purpose. If you did not come prepared to donate today, you can bring it back next week and put it in the collection. I'd like to thank each one of you for your gift, regardless of how big or how small it is. If you desire more information on the mission office and the things that are going on, I will be in the back of church afterwards to answer any questions you may have. Once again, thank you for listening, and may God bless you.